You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com. Today is Tuesday, April 25th, 2006. And of course, you're listening to it on Wednesday, the 26th. I don't know why I keep saying that. What I want to do tonight is start up Skype, because I've gotten into the habit lately of starting up Skype just to see who's on and maybe chat with somebody. But I'm going to keep recording my show and keep talking with my list of topics I want to discuss tonight. And first up tonight is the whole Fausto controversy. I don't know if you heard, but on today's, it was posted today, Tuesday that is, the latest edition of Eat This Hot Show with Madge Reagan and Wanda, and they had Rachel Can on there too. So, oh, no, wait a minute. Okay, I just opened up Skype and it says there's two events. Oh my goodness, I have two new voice calls. Let me, wait a minute, how do I play them? Let's listen.
Hi, Archer. This is Chef Mark from the Remarkable Palate Podcast, and I feel so terrible that I missed your 200th episode, but I just wanted to send a greeting along anyway. I heard the show, and it sounded great, and I was actually away this last week, but I got back, and I heard your show. Congratulations. You've done a great, great job. Very few podcasts have had the distinction of reaching 200 episodes. So we look forward to another 200, and we also look forward to some more great wine pairing advice from both you and Stanislaus. All right. Have a great one. Thanks. Bye-bye.
That's so cool. Thank you, Mark. I forgot that when I bought... okay, sorry for changing topics so quickly there, but I was first starting to talk about the Fausto thing, and I'll get back to that in a minute. But as I said, I started up Skype, and I had voicemail from... Mark from the Remarkable Palate Podcast. When I bought last week, I started figuring out how to call out on Skype. So I paid for like $10 of Skype service, whatever, and you get 3 months of their voicemail free. Well, I hadn't even figured that I would get voicemail, but I just did from Mark from the Remarkable Palate Podcast. Thank you, Mark. And you know what, Mark? It's funny that I get this voicemail from you, because I was just thinking today that the boyfriend and I need to record some wine tips for you, because I know we talked about that one time, and I recorded one for you, but I didn't record others, so I need to do that for you. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And we'll get back to that soon, I promise. Now, there was another voicemail on here, and it's from somebody named Bray Boy. I'm not sure who it is, but it's only 2 seconds long, so it's probably just a hang-up. Let's listen and see what this is. Okay, it's nothing. There was nothing there. What is this one?
The person who you're trying to reach is currently not available.
Oh.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. And then way back in November, something from Scott Mandeau.
Hey, Archer. It's Scott Mandeau from the world of Scott Mandeau 2K5. It is Monday night, November 7th, 2005. I finally got my Skype account back up, and I just wanted to call and say hello and hope things are going well for you there back in D.C. I think that I may be heading out there around December 1st. Okay. And if I do, I'll definitely give you a call. We should definitely get together, share a bottle of wine, and catch up on things. It's been a while, so I hope things are going well, and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Now, that's a really old message back from November, like 6 months ago, and I don't even know if Scott Mandeau is still around, because I don't hear any more from his podcast or anything. So anyway, that's the voicemail that was on Skype. Now I'm on Skype, and let's see who's on there. Remarkable Palate Podcast, but he's away or something, so... So I didn't know I could get a voicemail, so you can leave voicemail for me on Skype. Isn't that cool? All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. I was talking about the Fausto controversy on Eat This Hot Show. As I was saying, it was Madge, Wanda, Reagan, and they had Rachel Can on there, too. And they first started talking about the whole Adam Curry thing with Madge about the gay thing on Adam Curry's show. But then they went into the whole story of how Mark and Fausto got kicked off of Eat This Hot Show, and they actually gave all the details. They read emails. They, you know, laid it all out there, everything for everyone to hear. Because, you know, as I said on yesterday's show, they had been tiptoeing around it for months, and then today they finally let it go. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. Because, as you know, I've had my issues with Fausto in the past, but and I kind of knew this. His behavior was like this just from listening to him on his own show and the earlier shows and Eat This Hot Show, that he was kind of like this. But now, hearing all of this stuff, all these emails that have been written back and forth, and all these comments being left, it's obvious that I was right when I was thinking about him before. And, you know, the thing is, I have to totally agree with Madge that she said on her show that, you know, she doesn't care for Fausto, but he does do a nice show. He does do a good show. And I agree. I listen to his show. I think he does do a good show. There are certain things I don't care for, like the fact that he makes it sound like he knows everything about everything and that he mispronounces words very often, but that's the Puerto Rican thing, I'm sure. But anyway, I do love his show. I do listen to it every day. Some days are better than others, but you know, you can dislike him but like the show, which is what I do. So if you haven't listened to the latest edition of Eat This Hot Show, go over to eatthishotshow.com and download it and listen to it, and you will get the whole scoop, which I loved it. I listened to every minute of it today, and I absolutely loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. Now, along the same lines, you know, yesterday I was talking about gossip, and pretty much went through this whole thing with the whole Fausto thing and gossip and how everybody just loves to hear this stuff. Well, I was definitely the gossip whore today, listening into all these people were saying. But I got an email today from Paul in Philadelphia, who is prolific with his emails. He sends me two or three a week, and one of the emails was about gossip quotes. Over the years, people have written down things about gossip, and I wanted to read a couple of them. The first one is this. It says, "If you haven't got anything nice to say about anybody, come sit next to me." And that's by Alice Roosevelt Longworth. And then there's a Jewish proverb that says, "What you don't see with your eyes, don't witness with your mouth." That's pretty interesting. Like, if you didn't see it yourself, don't talk about it. Or hear it yourself, I guess. And then, of course, there's an Irish proverb that goes, "Who gossips with you will gossip of you," which I love because it's so true. And, you know, like I said yesterday, when people say, you know, "Don't tell anybody, but then you go and tell somebody that I heard this about from so-and-so. And so anyway, he sent me these whole bunch of quotes about people talking about gossip. And let's see, here's another one. "The only time people dislike gossip is when you gossip about them." And that's from Mark Twain. And then, let's see, there were some other ones here. I've printed this out. Let's see. This is the best one, I think. It's from Benjamin Franklin from July 1735. He says, "Three may keep a secret if two of them are dead." So that's really good. So, Paul, thank you for those quotes about gossip. I appreciate it. That was really cool. So, yeah, that's the whole thing about gossip and Eat This Hot Show and the whole Fausto thing. I'm just eating it up, just loving it, loving it, loving it, loving it. And I really wish I was a fly on the wall in Fausto's apartment or his iPod when he was listening to that show, because you know he was listening to it, trying to hear everything that they were saying about him. But, yeah, that would have been cool to hear what he had to say. Of course, I don't really want to get into the controversy, so I won't. But I think it would have been cool to been a fly on the wall when that was going on. Okay, so let's move on to something else. So surely you heard today about President Bush getting on the news, talking about the probe into the gas pricing. Yeah, so I went to, of course, WashingtonPost.com and read this article, and it says, President Bush, faced with rising public discontent over high fuel prices today, directed his administration to help investigate possible price gouging and ordered a temporary halt to deposits in the Strategic Petroleum Reserve. I'm not sure what that is. He also said he is directing the Environmental Protection Agency to grant temporary waivers of local clean fuel requirements with the aim of relieving gasoline shortages in some parts of the country. In a speech in Washington to the Renewable Fuels Association, Bush promoted a variety of measures aimed at reducing U.S. dependence on foreign oil, which accounts for 60% of the domestic consumption. But he ruled out any price fixing or tax increases, policies he attributed to Democrats in the past and that he said have not worked. The White House later said Bush would specifically oppose any windfall profits tax on oil companies as proposed by some members of Congress. At least one Republican senator, Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, has joined some Democrats in saying such a tax should be considered. But White House spokesman Scott McClellan told reporters the idea is out of question, calling it a failed command and control approach of the past. Well, imagine that. Okay, this is me now. Imagine that, the president saying they are not going to tax oil companies on huge profits. Let's think. Bush comes from an oil family. All of his family money is in oil. The connection there. Yeah, of course he's not going to want to tax any of the oil buddies because they're all making billions and billions of dollars off of this gas price lately. I don't know, makes me sick. Of course, I'm driving home from work today and I see that the price of gas has gone up to $3.10 in the D.C. area, which really sucks. But anyway, I wanted to just, I recorded this little bit off the news. I'm going to play this little bit for you here. You know, as I always say, I think the Elizabeth Vargas on the ABC News does a much better job of explaining what President Bush was talking about in terms of his probe into the gas pricing lately. So take a minute and listen to this little clip from the news about what Bush is going to do for the gas prices. So listen to this.
We turn now to news in this country and to President Bush's plan to fight the rising cost of gasoline. Today, he announced proposals that attack the problem on several fronts, from price gouging investigations to a change in environmental regulations. The question is, will it be enough to help the people at the pump? We begin with our chief White House correspondent, Martha Raddatz.
With oil prices hitting $75 a barrel and gas prices exceeding $3 a gallon in some places, the president today said America's addiction to oil has become a matter of national security.
Some of the nations we rely on for oil have unstable governments or agendas that are hostile to the United States.
With limited influence over those countries, Mr. Bush today outlined measures the U.S. can take to ease the price of oil, including ordering a halt to deposits to the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve, the nation's 685 million barrel emergency supply.
By deferring deposits until the fall, we'll leave a little more oil on the market. Every little bit helps.
The president is also asking federal agencies to investigate possible price gouging.
Americans understand, by and large, that the price of crude oil is going up and that the prices are going up, but what they don't want and will not accept is manipulation of the market.
Mr. Bush is also directing the EPA to ease environmental regulations on fuel requirements, which in some parts of the country are forcing consumers to buy expensive gas and causing shortages. In addition, the president has asked Congress to roll back $2 billion in tax breaks for oil companies. These are measures that Democrats and conservationists have been urging the president to take for a long time. And today, some were quick to point that out.
Every day, because President Bush and the Republican leadership have been asleep as this danger has crept up on the American consumer. And now it's the consumer and our country which is paying the price.
The administration acknowledges that this plan will likely not bring down the price of gas anytime soon. But Elizabeth, they feel they had to do something with midterm elections fast approaching.
All right, Martha. Well, as you said, how much relief the president's proposals may eventually give to motorists filling up at the pump remains to be seen. But the oil markets reacted immediately to his speech. Crude oil prices fell to $72.88 a barrel, down 45 cents from yesterday. ABC's Betsy Stark has a reality check.
The president's pledge to crack down on price gouging may help quiet critics who believe the market is being manipulated, but the reality is the industry is often accused and almost never found guilty.
I don't think anyone's going to find anything. I think it just makes everyone feel better.
Mr. Bush talked about getting prices down by promoting fuel efficiency, driving slower and driving less. But the reality is that will only lower prices if Americans change their behavior en masse.
They like big, comfortable, heavy, inefficient cars to drive around in. That's fine. That's their choice. But they should realize there are consequences of that choice, and the consequence is higher prices.
What could impact prices almost immediately is a suspension of environmental regulations. The reality here is that waiving the elaborate rules on summertime blends will likely push supplies up and prices down.
I would say it will bring gasoline prices substantially within, say, 2 to 3 weeks. I would say by 20 cents at least, or even more.
Over the long term, the president's proposal to develop alternative fuels, including hydrogen power and ethanol, could provide relief at the pump, and so could his plan to increase domestic supplies. But the reality is, any relief from either of those proposals is probably years away.
This is not going to have any impact on gasoline prices next year, or for the next 5 or even 10 years.
As for Mr. Bush's plan to stop filling the Strategic Petroleum Reserve for the summer, the reality is it may sound like a big deal, but it's really just a drop in the bucket.
It's a sensible step to take. There's nothing wrong with doing this, but it isn't. This isn't a silver bullet.
We heard that again and again today. No silver bullets, no quick fixes. Analysts say it's taken 25 years to get into this mess, and it's going to take years to get out of it. Probably not what Americans want to hear.
I was just going to say that's not what they're looking to hear right now.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Betsy.
So that explains it a lot better than I ever could. So it sounds like he's going to do a little bit and not do a little bit, and you know, I'm sure he's scared shitless that this issue is going to be a huge factor in the elections in November, because people are absolutely fed up with these gas prices, and of course the Republicans are going to they are going to lose their jobs because of it. However, there is this thing that they were talking about in the news. It's like what would the price of gas have to be before people change their driving habits? Well, it has been estimated anywhere from $3.50 to $4.20. So anywhere in between there, if the price of gas gets that high, people will either change their driving habits or change to mass transit. Now, in the D.C. area, we've already seen a huge jump in the people using the mass transit, because in the last week, we've seen the two highest days of traffic on the metro system in the Washington, D.C. area ever. Now, the metro, I think, has been around since 1976 or something like that, 1975, 76. And in the last week to have the two highest days of traffic on the metro system, that's huge. That means people are definitely changing their driving habits in our area. Well, with the price of gas the way it is, I can see why they would do that. But it's amazing to think that with all the protests and marches and political rallies and everything that they've had in D.C., with as many people that have shown up to use the metro system on any given day, that just in the last week they've had the two highest days. That's pretty amazing. I mean, it's like hundreds of thousands of people have ridden the metro in one day. I mean, I just can't believe it. Anyway, so let's move on to something else. Changing topics. I should have like a little click, like, okay, switch. Or like, I could do like the PNS boys and have a topic hat or a, what do they call that thing? I can't remember. Well, on Eat This Hot Show, it's Hot Topics. But on PNS boys, what is it called? They do the we throw those papers in the hat or something like that. I can't think of it, so I can't sing it. But they have a little segment where they throw topics in a hat and they pull out the topics and they talk about them. But I don't think I really need that. I just have my list. But anyway, the next thing on my list is I'm fucking this up tonight. Anyway, You know how the Little Fatty cast has their skull update where they talk about this lady at their coal mine who either does crazy things or wear crazy clothes or, you know, things like that? I think that everybody has a skull at their work. And not that I'm going to steal their idea, but this lady at work today has been doing things at work that made me think of the skull on the Little Fatty cast, who, by the way, are on a sabbatical because Larry is moving, and I'm hoping they'll get back to shows soon because I'm already missing them. But anyway, the skull at my job is a crazy lady who is probably in her mid-50s. She's very liberal, luckily, and she's a Democrat, and we've talked politics. But she's very disorganized. She's very adult ADD, and she's very scattered. She can't remember things that people tell her 2 seconds beforehand. Now, you know, we're organizing all these things at work, at school, work, whatever. And I'm in our little group. I'm kind of the leader, so I give her these responsibilities that she's got to find out about this and report back to us on this and this kind of thing. And she got right on it today, and she did those things. But when she was writing us the email to let us know this information, she does little stupid things like she'll ask the question in the email about what I just told her to find out about. And she's asking us. And I'm telling her, so I have to write back to her and say, you know, that's the information that you're supposed to find out and report back to us. So I have to tell her who to go to get the information. And I could have saved a hell of a lot of time by just going to that person in the first place and avoiding this middle woman and doing it myself, finding out myself. But I don't have time to do all this stuff. We have to farm these little jobs out and let other people do them. So she does this, so she goes back and emails the correct person and gets the information, and then she writes back to us. But the date on her, like she writes the date on everything, the date on her email, even though it's, you know, all emails date stamped, but within the actual body of the email, she writes the date, and she wrote July 2006. And I'm like, how the fuck can you get confused between April 2006 and July 2006? We're not even working in July, for that matter. So little tiny things like that absolutely drive me crazy. Like, for example, she will call me and ask me something just in the middle of the day for no reason, and it's something that I already told her. She just totally forgets. So anyway, I'm sure everyone has a crazy woman at their workplace, and I now have mine, and I'll probably be talking about her again because she does stupid things. And she's not really a skull in terms of her fashion or her, well, actually, she does lack the technology skills, but basically the stuff she does is just stupid. Like, she just doesn't listen, and she doesn't write things down, and she doesn't follow through, and that's kind of crap. And those are the kind of people who drive me fucking crazy, because, of course, I'm the anal person, and I have to, you know, control things and make sure everything's done correctly and all that kind of stuff. So it drives people like me crazy about that kind of stuff. So anyway, that's my crazy lady at work. I'm just going to call her that crazy lady at work and leave it at that. So now, moving right along, I did get another email today, and I got it was an email from Vincent in Malaysia. Actually, I got the email yesterday, but forgot about it. But I read it today, and Vincent in Malaysia has done a little research. He figured out my birthday. Of course, I've already told everybody when my birthday is. It's actually coming up in May. There's a lot of podcasters who have birthdays in the spring. Although that's still the spring. I guess May is still the spring. So anyway, he figured out my birthday, and he decided to find out about my past lives. Now, you know, the boyfriend is always talking about me being Asian, and I have Asian hair, and he always makes fun of me when I'm, like, if we're around Asian people and they're talking, he says, "Can you understand what they're saying?" And he totally makes fun of me. Well, as it turns out, Mr. Boyfriend, if you're listening to this, Vincent in Malaysia has found out about my past life. What he did was he put my birthday in, and this is what he found out. It says, "I do not know how you feel about it, but you were a female in your last earthly incarnation. You were born somewhere around the territory of modern South Japan." I am Asian. And it says approximately around 1700. So I was a female Japanese woman in the 1700s. And it says my profession was a shepherd, horseman, or forester. So something out in nature with animals. That's very interesting, too. And it says I was a person with huge energy. I was good in planning and supervising. And It says, if you were a garbage man, you were chief garbage man. So that kind of sums up what I was just talking about, me being, anal and being in charge and stuff like that. So it sounds like I'm following through on my current life through my past life, although I don't know about the female part. But there's the whole Japanese thing, my being Asian in a past life, and it kind of, maybe that's how I got my Asian hair and why the boyfriend makes fun of me when we're listening to Asian people. Anyway, I just wanted to thank Vincent for that nice email and letting me know about my past life. That was cool. And actually, he gives a little link to, you can check out your other past life. So Vincent's looking forward to my birthday, he says. And believe me, Vincent, I'm looking forward to my birthday too. But not because of the age, but because of what I might get. Anyway, after Vincent, I checked the comments on the website, and we got, I shut that down. I should open it back up. Let's go back to Archer Radio and check out the comments, because there were two comments on the gossip show, and one was from Nick in Paris saying, I'm glad I didn't give up my podcast. Oh my goodness, please excuse me. Anyway, Nick, from Nick in Paris podcast, which, you know, I really enjoy because I love those sounds of the French countryside and French city. Anyway, he said that he is guilty of downloading show number 75. Remember yesterday I was telling you about which show I got all emotional about? Well, he downloaded show 75 and listened to it. So good for you, Nick. And then the other comment was from Beth. And Beth says, I love gossip. Now give me some dirt on Dating with David. We need an update. And then she says, I love your rattling on, so don't stop. Well, Beth, I'm not going to stop because I rattle on and on about everything, and you just have to forgive me for my burping while I'm rattling on. You know, I think actually a lot of podcasters burp because as they're talking, they take in air, and then at some point that air has to be released, so it comes out as a burp. So that's why I think podcasters burp a lot. Anyway, Beth wants an update for Dating with David. Well, without going into too much detail or giving away too much, David of Dating with David and I have not been in contact too much lately. He's been very busy. He changed jobs, and I, of course, have been very busy and am always very busy on the weekends with the boyfriend. So things have kind of changed. We just don't stay in contact enough very much anymore, Beth. So I actually do not have an update. I have no idea what's going on with Dating with David. You know what I should do sometime is use the call-out feature on Skype and just call him and record a conversation with him just to see what's going on. So maybe I'll work on that, Beth. So, Beth, I'm so sorry we don't have an update for Dating with David. I wish I did, but I just don't. But now, Beth, you know what we need to do a segment, Beth, we need to do a segment called Dating with Beth and see where Beth's dating is going right now and who she's dating and the date she goes on. So, Beth, if you are interested in doing a little Dating with Beth, even though it would be straight dating, that's fine with me, let me know and we can do a little segment. Or you can just call in your little reports on the voicemail or on Skype. You can leave a voicemail on Skype, which would be really cool. And we can hear about your dating, because I know you're dating, aren't you? You're not single, you're not coupled, are you? Anyway, Beth, we need to catch up with you on Skype sometime. So anyway, thanks for the comment. So, boys and girls, that's all I have for today. So, sorry about that clip from the news. I know it was a little bit long, but, you know, it was worth it because it explains things better than I can. And we'll be back tomorrow with another show. Hopefully, I'll think of some things to talk about. And people, get on Skype while I'm recording. It's usually about between 7 and 8 Eastern time during the week. So, anyway. All right, boys and girls. So, until next time, bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.